stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Manage Your System Z Cross-Platform Development. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll hear an overview of an application lifecycle management implementation that allows you to manage cross-platform applications. The speaker for today's teleconference is David Lawrence, Rational Software Developer, IBM Software Group. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, David Lawrence.
Thank you, and welcome to this IBM teleconference, where we're going to talk about how to manage your System Z cross-platform application development process using IBM Rational Software tools. My name is David Lawrence. I'm a member of the IBM Software Group's Enterprise Tools and Compilers team in the Rational Software brand, and my role is to help our clients and our teams understand the value of our enterprise modernization solutions. So let's go on to slide number 2, starting off with business realities. We're going to do a little level set here. What we're going to do today, actually, is we're going to go through a small example of how you would address a software failure or software malfunction in a production environment and how you would use our tools to address it. I think from this slide you can see we all agree that software is now at a point when there is a failure in a software production application, it really does affect the organization's bottom line. A couple of examples that you see there, Airbus is forecasting a $6.1 billion loss in profits because of incompatible software systems. Where I'm located, TJX, which is a large chain of off-price retailers, they had a data breach about 2 years ago. In fact, I was personally affected by this. I had to get all new credit cards because they thought my data had been breached. It cost them $256 million to address it. HP problems with their ERP system cost them $160 million. The bottom line is, as you see from the statistics there, less than half of the stakeholders in software projects are satisfied with their outcome. They're frequently late. They're too expensive to develop. The quality is just not there. So this is the landscape that we're going to talk about this problem against. If you go to slide number 3, so zeroing in on what is so difficult about this issue, why is it so hard to deliver quality software on time? You know, you'd like to think it's like an engineering process. You know, we can build large bridges on time. We can, you know, put men on the moon. We can manage a very complex air transport system. But we seem to have this trouble delivering software on time. Well, a lot of it's because it's intangible. You can't really see it. It's produced by distributed teams. The market pressures usually result in artificially short deadlines. There are a lot of manual and error-prone tests. A lot of the procedures are based on folklore, people's knowledge, and other processes that are unpredictable and reliable. And all these other factors, really, if you think about working in the software business, it's been this way for some time. And though there are solutions out there that can help you address them, you really have to not only look at the tools themselves, but also how you use them. So let's go to slide number 4 and think about what the effect is of these delivery issues. Well, I think we know them. Releases are missed and they're delayed, which can affect your market window. The delays raise your development costs because you now have a rework issue that you had to fund somehow. The increased pressure puts the workers under pressure, and it's hard for them to deliver reliable quality when they're under pressure and working sort of against deadlines they don't think they can make. And this poor or this decreased level of quality upsets your customers, and that can have a short-term and long-term effect on your business. So let's go to slide number 5 and add some more considerations. In addition to this, the organizations who rely on software or use software and IT systems for their business are going global. This map that you see here on slide number 5 is quite representative, actually, of how the IBM Corporation develops software. We do that all over the world. And although we have standardized our own sets of tools and processes, it's a pretty safe bet that there are organizations out there that have not. And really, this map could be in metropolitan New York City, for example. You still could have 3 or 4 different teams all developing software according to different rules and different procedures that they've all grown up with. We see in the latest round of mergers and acquisitions of banks the difficulty they have, even though, you know, both houses perhaps are using IBM mainframe ZOS systems, even within that context, people still have incompatible processes and solutions, and they still have trouble integrating their applications. So imagine if you expand that problem out of the mainframe into the mix of distributed systems that are developed by teams that not only just you know, in different parts of the country, but in different parts of the world. Let's go to slide number six and add another factor in, which is that organizations want to continue to get value from the Zine investment. There is something over $1 trillion invested in IBM mainframe ZOS applications. Most business-critical applications around the world run on the mainframe. That has not changed. We don't see it changing, so we don't think it's going to be changing anytime soon. But the market is driving our customers to deliver integrated multi-platform solutions. It's no longer the case where you could have a call center person sitting on a phone looking at a green screen when all the client wants is to look at an insurance claim or a cable TV service or whatever. Customers actually like being able to do this themselves over the web. So what that means is you now have to find some way to link up your family jewels, your mainframe application, with these newer technologies that allow your clients and perhaps your internal staff access to them. That all said, there's still the perception out there that the Z environment is different, it's unique, it's perceived as being more structured, more hierarchical, you know, more monolithic. And so therefore, people, when they intend to integrate a Z application development process with a distributed application development process, they tend to struggle. And it's hard to figure out a way to integrate these two worlds in an efficient, flexible fashion. Be irrational. I've been thinking about this for quite some time, and we've come up with this term you might have seen a while ago called enterprise modernization. And we have an offer set of solutions that deliver, first and foremost, a standardized platform. Basically, you can do your entire application development, both ZOS, mainframe, COBOL, Kickstep development, and Java, J2EE apps, all from the same platform. This platform supports the ability not only to edit and compile, but also to build and to test and deploy and release to production. So with that, you really can start to reconsider how people do Z development, and you can start to consider how to come up with a standardized process that is flexible enough to accommodate both styles of development, the Z development approach and the distributed approach, but it's sufficiently rigorous so that releases and activities can be made in a managed fashion. Okay, so let's go to slide number seven and talk about this a little bit more. So we've identified a couple of things that we suggest people want to consider. One is modernizing your skills, i.e. modernizing your IDEs. What that means is, as we know, people who are coming out of university now, you set them in front of a green screen, you know, that's been around for the 70s, they just run the other way. They're just not interested. So there is a problem of a declining talent pool of mainframe developers, a declining pool of people who are interested and willing to work in this environment. There's also a driver with the advances in distributed or offload development solutions. There is a push towards freeing up your production Z environment MIPS to do those functions that add value to the business. And if you can perform other functions, ancillary functions, like editing, like compiling, like test builds, that sort of stuff elsewhere, well, that's a winner because now you're freeing up your system Z MIPS to do real production. So we're coming up with a set of modern IDEs which not only help you reduce your MIPS load, but also attract our more attractive younger developers so they're willing to take on and understand your business critical applications and work to modify and extend them. So we offer a suite of products there. We'll talk today about Rational Developer System Z, Rational Developer System, System I solution. There's Rational Business Developer, which is an enterprise generation language, and some other solutions you see there which help you modernize your development effort and standardize it across your organization. Let's go to slide number eight. The other aspect that we're going to talk about today is, in addition to modernizing your IDE, we think people want to modernize your infrastructure. So in other words, how can you increase the responsiveness of multi-platform development teams? What that really means is, how can you ensure that when a business opportunity presents itself, or there's an issue that comes up, or some other modification that's required to the production environment, how can you deliver that in a flexible, efficient, and timely fashion? And how can you reduce the cost of supporting the infrastructure? So we've come up with a set of solutions for your team infrastructure, for the infrastructure that supports your teams working together, that is, where we presume that you would want to present or maintain your code with standard tools across your platforms. That's in our SCM solution called Rational Clear Case. We would like a cross-organization standardized workflow and issue management solution That's our Rational Clear Quest product. And a means to produce managed, audited builds that you can trace from the digital deployment through the different environments out to production. And that's our Rational Build Force project. So what we're going to talk about today is Rational Developer for System Z, Rational ClearCase, and Rational ClearQuest, and Rational BuildForge, and how you use them to effectively manage your cross-platform application development. So let's go to slide number 9, and just to set up a larger context, the products we're talking about are part of IBM Rational's software delivery platform. The idea behind the software delivery platform is to automate and speed the process of developing and delivering software solutions across the enterprise. So that includes distributed, mainframe, and all the other architectures that are there that you use to drive your business. So our solutions support the entire gamut of the process, from the initial identification of a new requirement to the management of the work activities to deliver that requirement, to the validation and verification of the work that was done to meet the requirement, and on into deployment. Okay, so now we're going to get a little more detail here. We're going to switch to slide number 10, and we're going to basically talk in some detail about how these solutions work, and then we're going to go through a little example of them. So we'll start off the discussion by addressing Rational Developer System Z. Rational Developer System Z is what we refer to as an integrated host and desktop IDE. What that means is, from Rational Developer Z, you can work both on the host mainframe and on your local distributed desktop as if they are one and the same. So you have to do things like local edits of COBOL and PL1, local edits, local syntax checks. There is also, within RDZ, an integrated Java, C, and C++ development environment. There's a host of features to enable you to synchronize the local copies of your files and those that are resident on the host. There's a range of tools that enable you to do remote tests, remote debug live on the host, to monitor your job output, to go into SDSF or whatever, all these things you can do from the Rational Developer for Z desktop. And it's our hope that as people become experienced with Rational Developer for Z, they will find that it supersedes the need to have ISPF screens up. We think that this will reduce the barrier of acceptance to the younger developers out there. A little more detail to go to slide number 11. So what's RDZ about? It's an Eclipse-based desktop IDE composed of a set of tools to build in COBOL, PL1, C, C++, Java, high-level assembler, Kix, IMS, and batch applications. And it includes a service flow modeler capability. We're going to talk about that in some details. It's improving the efficiency and the ability to interface with Kix applications more effectively. You can manage core and composite artifacts both from System Z, and because it's the single platform that supports an automated end-to-end process, this increases the efficiency, reduces the amount of manual error-prone tasks, and we think reduces the cost and reduces the exposure of the application development process. It's integrated to the file, to the ZOS file manager, integrated to the fault analyzer. It's got a host of things. Actually, this webcast, we're not going to go into a lot of detail with RDZ because we have other things to talk about. That just gives you an overview. Think of it as a desktop IDE to enable you to develop both host and distributed applications from the same place. So let's go to slide number 12. So what we do is we couple Rational Developer for Z, or RDZ, with our change configuration and release management solutions. And together, these enable the organization to increase their effectiveness and increase their efficiency, because you can do everything from low-level analysis of code through source code version management, through activity and change control management, right on through test, development, and deployment, all in a fully traceable fashion, so that in the unlikely event that a deployment does fail, it is very easy for you to quickly identify the source of the problem and back the offending change back out. So we're going to talk about how each of these roles you see here, the deployment manager and so forth, how you can use our solutions for these different roles to work together in a coordinated and efficient manner. Okay, so let's start off the configuration management solution discussion with Rational ClearQuest. That is our solution to help you manage your workflows, your work items, your activities, and manage builds and deployments. Rational ClearQuest comes out of the box with a set of pre-configured workflows that you can use. They're all editable, so you can change them, configure them as you like. Usually what our customers do is they pick one that most closely matches their environment and then start to modify it from there. Rasha ClearQuest is built on a centralized repository, which you can host anywhere. We host DB2 and a host of other databases. There's a very rich selection of graphical and text-based reporting tools, and there are clients for practically every environment. We have everywhere from a native Windows client to an Eclipse client to a web client. So you can deploy Rasha ClearQuest to tens, hundreds, or thousands of users in the way that most suits your environment. Let's go to slide 14. Benefits of Rational ClearQuest. It really is a comprehensive software change management solution. The customizable workflows, it's all done through GUIs. You don't have to write a lot of scripts into it. You just drag and drop to make new order entry forms, to make new reports. Usually when people implement ClearQuest, they spend 2 or 3 months figuring out what they want to do and then a couple of days setting it up. ClearQuest now includes a specialized schema, or a template as we call it, for application lifecycle management, and this schema has been developed with the intent of addressing the problem we're talking about today, which is the development, delivery, and release of cross-platform or composite applications. So it includes all real-time reporting and metrics, so it's a lot better in a meeting if everybody looks at the ClearQuest database and shows up with 10 different Excel spreadsheets. There's a variety of controls. There's a configurable access control. There are electronic signature capability in it for auditing purposes. You can scale ClearQuest to any size team, from 4 to 5 people sitting in the room up to thousands around the world. And as a rational solution, it's very tightly integrated with our other development and test solutions, Rational ClearCase, our build tools, our requirement tools, and so on and so forth. So let's go to slide number 15. Talk a little bit about ClearCase now, which is our software configuration management solution. And that really is our enterprise SCM offering. So regardless of the environment you're going to be developing in, that is whether you're developing under Unix or under Windows or under Linux or under ZOS, you all share the same repository. And the repository is hosted in a secure fashion. You really can't bypass security. So no matter where you're working from, everybody's getting and retrieving their work from the same secure repository. Like ClearQuest, there's a host of clients for it. There's a desktop client, an RDC client. There's also an ISPF client. ClearCase includes the ability to configure and launch both distributed and ZOS builds. And it, too, has a built-in and extensible process model, which, when integrated with ClearQuest, enables you to very quickly and easily deploy a robust and auditable enterprise-wide software configuration management solution, or ESCM solution. Let's go to slide number 16, a little more details on ClearCase. Scalable from 3 people up to 3,000, a host of clients, a flexible out-of-the-box usage model, and what's of most value to people is that regardless of where you're coming from, the access to your assets is transparent in real time. So you don't really have the constraint of having to copy controlled assets to a sandbox or work area and work on them and put them back in. When you're working with ClearCase, you're working in the repository, but you're working in a controlled and auditable fashion. And the SPF client and the ZOS build management features extend the same value to the mainframe, and that enables ZOS developers, ISPF developers, to take advantage of the same features that have made ClearCase so successful in the distributed environment. The last solution we're going to consider in this talk today is Rational Build Forge. And this is our solution to enable an enterprise to launch and manage cross-platform builds. So BuildForge, what you get is the idea of a centralized repository that does nothing but manage builds. So BuildForge works by having a central console that whoever in your organization is responsible for managing builds is, whoever that person is, they work from the central repository. They manage builds by instructing BuildForge to distribute the components of the build to the appropriate level host. So you send the COBOL build to the host, you send the Java build to your Java build server, and so on and so forth. And like our other solutions, there is a plugin that fits into RDC, there's a web client, and like the other solutions, you can access BuildForge from anywhere in your environment. And clearly, the audit trails of BuildForge are very comprehensive, and we'll talk a little bit about that as we get further in. Here's a little picture of how BuildForge works. What you're trying to stop right there is the build console. And then across the bottom of the screen, on slide number 18, you see representations of the various build agents that run different platforms. And you'll notice that with BuildForge, you distribute your builds around the world to a pool of servers. And you see listed there, there's a USS server to run ZOS builds. You have a Windows build server, and so on and so forth. And all of these servers report back to the master build console so that the organization can very quickly and easily see the state of each build. Let's go to slide number 19. And this is just to illustrate that all these solutions are integrated together. So you can access any of our products from RDC through Eclipse plugins. You can access them from standalone web clients and standalone Eclipse clients. And in the case of ClearQuest and ClearCase, they're also native clients. So when you tie these products together, what you get is a robust industrial strength automated solution for build management, which delivers very detailed records of the build results, the build content, and enables you to update your workflow back to ClearQuest so that project management can see in automated fashion exactly what the progress of the builds are and perform metrics accordingly. Okay, so what I've done now is I've introduced you to the products that we're going to talk about in the sample here. Unfortunately, we can't do this live because of the technology that we're using today, but what we're going to do is I'm going to run you through a little scenario where if you just imagine that we've got a little help desk application that helps people calculate retirement dates, and for some reason, this application has started returning errors. I'm showing you the kick screen here. There could also be a Java front end. In either case, the little red circle there indicates that no matter what number you put in for your birth date, it seems to keep returning 888 as a retirement date. So we're going to understand what we have to do to fix this. Go to slide number 21. What you really want to do, if we step back for a minute, is we're going to have to make fixes in both pieces of our application. So although the help desk or your customer or your client actually just wants to see a single birthday calculation application, like we're seeing in the top right of the slide, as an IT professional, you know that inside what's going on is you're trying to synchronize builds and deliveries both from your host and mainframe environment and from your desktop environment. In other words, you're going to have to make an integrated change and release to production of components from both environments in order to repair this application such a way that you don't knock it out of service. So you can probably see what the problem is here that people face. As technology and the market have evolved, the risk of a failure of one side or the other of these two components to deploy properly is much greater because there's increasing probability nowadays that there are dependencies between the two such that if one ships and the other doesn't, the application breaks. It goes out of service. Then you're really in trouble if this is what you're using to run your business on. So this is the problem that these solutions are intended to solve. So what happens? We have the issue. We discover a failure in the application. Let's go to slide number 22. First thing that happens is the production help desk raises the issue. And you see a little circle there. They're going to bring up the ClearQuest web client. And they're going to fill out in the lower right there, you see the actual defect. And they're going to input the nature of the problem, who reported it, the priority, and so on and so forth. Basically, whatever else is necessary to identify the solution. And they're going to then submit it. So we go to slide number 23. So the issue comes in, and now we're putting a view of the project leader who is looking at ClearQuest not from the web client, but they're actually looking at it from the standalone ClearQuest Eclipse client. Now, they're both looking at the same database. So although the production side is reporting this problem to the web, the project lead is looking at the same database to the Eclipse client and reviewing the progress of the project as a whole. So this issue comes in, the project lead reviews the workflow, and you see the lower circle there identifies Alex as the developer who is probably the most appropriate person to take this problem on. Now we go to slide number 24, and we actually go ahead and we're going to assign this defect to Alex. So you see now we brought the defect up after we've looked at the metrics, and we're going to actually change that little drop down there. And as you can see carefully, it actually says Alex in it, and Alex is now assigned this defect to work on. Let's go to slide number 25. So Alex has been working in his RDC desktop. So what you're seeing here It's the same QuickWit database, this time viewed from RationalZilla for Physique. And what he's done is he's gotten an email notification, or it may appear in his to-do list, which is a report that appears at the top left of the window you see there, up in the middle of the screenshot. In a variety of ways you can notify people, but we'll just say it appears in his to-do list for today. And he opens up this defect, reads the issue, and says, okay, I think I know what's going on. I'll mark it as open, meaning I've dissected and I'm starting working on it. He's going to start to investigate the issue. So he changes perspectives in RDZ, and he brings up the clear case perspective, and he brings up the set of load modules that he knows run the application, and he goes down to the module MADL02, and he says, well, I thought I fixed this. Let's have a look. Now, in the bottom center of the screenshot, you see the version tree from MADL02. Now, keep in mind, this is all being performed from inside RDZ. So for all this work, Alex is still working in RDZ. He's just changed from a clear quest perspective to a clear case perspective, using the ClearCase Eclipse plugin to understand which version of the file he delivered last and why the issue is coming up. And just for purposes of discussion, we're going to discover that what Alex forgot to do was when he made the last submission, he forgot to incorporate the new service flow code. And he had come down 2 weeks earlier that said every six had to use the new service flow logic, and he'd forgotten to do that. So he's going to go back and start working on that. But before we do that, you may be wondering what service flow is. Let's go to slide number 27. When you think about what a service flow is, it's simply a virtual or logical channel under which requests can flow to and from KIX. As you may imagine, in a large enterprise, KIX transactions comprise a tremendous amount of MIPS load, and there's always a drive to try to reduce or at least bunch up requests to KIX such that you get greater efficiency from your existing installation. So we've come up with this thing in RDZ called service flow modeling. And simply what that is a means of bunching KIX requests up and then sending them en masse to KIX at once rather than, say, to perform a retirement calculation. You may have to go to KIX once to find out the user's name, again to get their date of birth, and again to get today's date. That would require 3 round trips to KIX. What a service flow would do is it would basically bunch those 3 requests up and send them off in a batch form and have the requests all returned at once. So now you're out of the whole process of having to start a little session each time to get the information. So what that does is that reduces the amount of effort that KIX has to make to deliver the solution. So a modeler simply models this transaction. So inside RDZ, we now offer something called a service flow modeler, which, as you see from the drawing on slide number 28, the drawing at the bottom, what we were talking about. So where in a non-service flow modeler environment, your web client or your KIX stream may make 3 round-trip calls to KIX, with a service flow modeler, you work to restructure your application such that the same information is retrieved with 1 request. So quite simply, that's what service flow modeler is, and it's now a feature of RDZ. And in addition to helping you increase the efficiency with which you develop enterprise-wide applications, the service flow modeler helps you increase the efficiency of those applications once they go into production. Let's go to slide number 29 now. Coupled with the service flow modeler is a service flow runtime. And the service flow runtime is something that is a no-charge feature you order from KIX, and that's the piece that you need to make all this stuff work. So if you are interested in or if you adopt RDZ, in order to make use of the service flow modeler, you need to have a service flow runtime installed. And those together enable you to implement the efficiencies that we discussed earlier in terms of improving the productivity from your KIX regions. Okay, let's go to slide number 30. All right, so I just want to quick aside to basically introduce you to the idea of what service flows are and how service flow modelers work. And I use it sort of cleverly as an example to illustrate the problem we're trying to solve today. All right, so let's go back to developer Alex. Okay, so he's now all spun up on service flows. He's now gone ahead and implemented the changes requested in the service flow modeler, and he's going to implement that feature in the module madl0.2.tbl. And on the top right of slide number 30, you'll see actually Alex is again in RDZ. He's actually using the ClearCase SCM adapter now to basically check the source module out from the Clear Kitchen repository. And what you see down at the lower right is actually that little window coming up that says checkout elements. That's actually ClearQuest asking Alex, okay, you're going to check this element out. What activity are you going to use to work against this? I'll show you what that means in a minute. So what this means is that for every time you go to modify a source module in ClearCase, you have to have a ClearQuest activity associated with it. I should say you have to have. The out-of-the-box configuration is that you would have to have this. You don't have to have this turned on if you don't want to, but good practice dictates that you should ensure that all source code modifications are performed in the context of a work order. So let's go to slide number 31. And Alex has now checked out madl02.cobol, performed the modifications, and now he's going to test it to make sure it actually works. So in the bottom left of the window, you see a picture of Alex taking madl02 and performing a local syntax check. The RDZ has a local COBOL compiler in it, so you can run your source through the local syntax checker first, and that reduces the exposure and the cost of having failed builds running on the host. Once the module passed the local syntax check, Alex then performed the test build. There are lots of ways to do builds with this solution, and we'll talk about some of them, and I'll show you a picture of all of them at the end. But in this case, what Alex is going to do is he's going to set up RDZ to actually test build madl02 right from the desktop. So what that involves Alex doing is actually using an RDZ builder and setting it up, as you see in the top left, selecting a remote build operation. And then in the lower right, he's configuring this remote build to actually call the ClearKitchen remote build feature. And the ClearKitchen remote build feature will then go and submit the build to the batch processor, await the results, and return them back to Alex. Here's another picture of it, again, of Alex basically firing off the build from inside RDZ and awaiting the results. So look at slide number 32, and you can see here's another larger picture of Alex using RDZ and ClearCase to build madl02.cbl, our COBOL module, on the host. And what you see in the lower middle part of the screen is the actual build output coming back from the host. So even though Alex is sitting in his nice, comfortable IDE desktop, the build is running on the host, and you're getting a sysprintf all returned back to your RDZ environment. So as you see in this, Alex never really had to go onto a green screen to do any of his work. He could do the entire thing, the edit, the check, the build, and the test, right for RDZ without ever leaving it. We don't have time in this demonstration to go into it, but you could actually go further. And from RDC, you can go into SDSF to explore your job output. You can use actually interactive step-by-step remote debug from RDC. All these things are available to you from RDC without ever having to go into a green screen environment to do them. Okay, so let's go to slide 33 and talk a bit about what's happened now. So what's happened is Alex has now made the modification to madl02.cbl. He's implemented the service flow feature using the RDZ service flow modeler and the service flow runtime in Kix. He's performed a test build. He's run it in his little test environment to make sure that he's satisfied that the changes build cleanly. And he's going to go back to ClearQuest, and he's going to mark that he's completed his work and that the work item is ready to be promoted to the next step. So this sends a message to the build and release engineer, who is also, in this example, is back to using the ClearQuest Eclipse plugin in RDZ. He could also use the web client like we saw before. He could use the local ClearQuest Eclipse client, whatever. Doesn't really matter. They all kind of look the same. But the role the build engineer is going to do now is he's going to go and make sure the build is in order. So he's going to look at the change set, and what you see in the window, sort of the lower right, the list of files, those are the list of modules that includes, well, that's just modules, but artifacts. That could be source modules, generated load modules, build scripts, and other artifacts that were accessed or modified in the course of resolving the issue. This illustrates one of the strengths of our solution, which is that, as you may remember, we had Alex actually indicate the issue he was working against. What he's all done, ClearQuest has actually done all his homework for him of writing down all of the files that he worked with, and that becomes part of what we call the change package. So we have the initial defect report that you see there, along now the change package, and this entire work item or package is now available to be promoted through the environment from development to sys-test to QA to UAT and so on and so forth and all up to production. And this step is just repeated for each environment going all the way up. So in this case, the release engineer has verified the change is in order by reviewing the comments that you see in the window there and promotes the issue to QA for verification. So the QA or V&V team goes off, promotes the application to their test environment. They report back that everything is okay. And let's go to slide number 34. And the ball is back in the building release engineer's court. He gets the report back from QA that everything's good to go. So now what he will do is he'll initiate a formal build. And we would imagine some people would use the Rational BuildForge project console. There's also a plugin for BuildForge right into RDZ as well. So actually, everybody can work from RDZ if you wish. But in any event, this is a picture of the Rational BuildForge project console. And what you see in that console is a list of the build instructions. In this case, this is the instructions to build the ZOS components. If you look really hard, you'll see Rex commands to the BuildForge USS agent, and those commands are submitting the build request to the job queue and catching the result. So what you do with BuildForge is you may see in the center of the window there, there's a series of blue listings there. What those are the different build steps. So you'll have a host build step, you'll have a Java build step, you might have a CNC plus build step. Basically, those are all the pieces that you use to build the solution, but it's actually all delivered as a single step or single project. So you're looking at here what we call a BuildForge project, and that BuildForge project is composed of multiple steps. And each of those steps relates to a different build environment. It's different for the build instructions. So once the build engineer has launched this build project and it completes successfully, he's satisfied that the issue is now ready for production. He goes back to the ClearQuest again, marks the issue as ready for production and production ready, and at that point, the entire build package with a listing of changed artifacts, as we showed before, is now promoted to the production staff, and they deploy the executables. They can use BuildForge to deploy if they wish. They can go to Tivoli if they like. Really, it's up to them, but basically you can do the entire build and deploy step just in BuildForge if you like. So I know it's a little bit confusing, so why don't we go to slide number 35 to give you a picture of how all these solutions work together. So I'll give you a quick tour through all this. At the bottom of the slide, what you see is a representation of a typical IT enterprise where you might have one or more of these environments. We simplified it here to simply say you have a development environment, a QA environment, you probably have several of those, and maybe one or more production environments. You deploy those environments through a variety of ways. Starting at the top center, you would start with the idea of an RDZ project, and the RDZ project would contain perhaps COBOL components, Java components, C++ components, whatever makes up your product, whatever makes up the application would be driven by RDZ. You could build these solutions separately with RDZ builders, which is a nice handy way to do a test, but an RDZ builder doesn't really offer the robust reporting and auditing and synchronization features that BuildForge offers. So typically what you might do is you use the RDZ builder in a development side to synchronize with BuildForge steps, ClearCase helper scripts, which in turn call ClearCase remote build, and remote build would then build and deploy this solution out to the development environment. When you get more formal and it's time for you to transition your work to a build and release team, the build and release team may do the same build, but they would be initiating it from perhaps from a ClearQuest action. One thing I did not mention in the earlier was that you can actually wire up ClearQuest or configure ClearQuest such that when you change the state of your work item, example, from tested to production ready, that actually can fire off the same build I just showed you a few minutes ago that BuildForge would run. The third way to do it is as we described, which is in a more formal audited fashion, you would actually build and deploy your solution from a BuildForge project. But all these different solutions would go through, ultimately, a series of remote build steps, either from ClearCase or from BuildForge, which would manage the build and deploy process out to the different environments. So you have a host of ways you can do this, and what you really are looking at is balancing formality against the need for speed. So let's go to slide 36, and I'll give you a more simplified view of what we just talked about. So at its very basic, you consider a development activity, which is performing work in Master Developer Z, modifying assets that are controlled by rational clear case, using a work item workflow to control a rational clear quest. And as the development activities proceed, the work is recorded on the assets in clear case and on the activity in clear quest. When the developer is done, the activity in clear quest and the associated clear case assets are promoted to the next step in the life cycle, ready for test, ready for build, or whatever you call it in your organization. And in doing that, you have signaled your build and release or production team or whatever you call your production staff to now take that work item, which is the activity that was reported about the broken kick screen, and the assets that were modified to address the problem, the COBOL module MAT-L02, and we're going to use BuildForge to do a formal build and a release to production of the work item into the various environments you see on the right. So very simply, that's how it all works together. RGC is a development environment, ClearQuest to manage the activity and workflow, ClearCase to manage the assets, and BuildForge to manage the build process. So let's go to slide number 37 and go back up 10,000 feet. So what we've done today is we've gone through the process of requesting and delivering a change to your production environment in a managed, audited, and secure fashion. And this is a very simple example of the kinds of things that your organization will need to consider going forward. If you think of the context of the diagram that you see here, this is how we think most organizations work. And what we did today, basically, is we took a set of skills, we took our Java and COBOL developers, we tooled them up with some new solutions, which enabled them to much more quickly and efficiently understand, transform, and work with their assets, perhaps modify them in such a way that they can expose new value to them, and all in the context of a documented, controlled, and enforced process. So we recognize that historically, the two silos, as we call them, the mainframe ZOS world and the distributed world, typically don't cooperate all that well, but we think there's more in common than people realize. And what we're doing at Rational is we're basically working to understand how the two worlds work in the real world and to help both sides of the enterprise, distributed and ZOS, collaborate more effectively. We are developing and have available a host of new solutions which really strengthen your ability to deliver systems Z applications in a timely and cost-effective fashion. That's sort of the end of this webcast for today. If you'd like to learn more, we have quite a number of things available that you can look at. On the website you see there, IBM.com DeveloperWorks is a good place to start. There are many more podcasts and webcasts you can look at to understand this solution in more depth. White papers, red books, canned demos, they're all there. And please feel free to contact us if you want to find out more, and we'll provide that information on the website later on. Okay, so I'd like to thank you for joining today. And I'd like to open the discussion up for any questions.
Thank you, David. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with your presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for just a moment. How was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technically enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And again, we'll pause. company currently have developers supporting multiple environments such as a mainframe, IBM I, System I, or other platforms such as System X? If yes, and they each have their own development platform and processes, press star 1. If yes, and they have already adopted a common developer platform tool, press star 2. If they only have one platform in the company, press star 3. Your company has applications running on multiple platforms. Do you have a common set of lifecycle development processes across the platforms? If you do not have applications running on multiple platforms, press star 1. If you have applications running on multiple platforms and have a set of common processes across all the platforms, press star 2. And again, we'll pause. Hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. That does conclude our survey. We thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. Again, that is star 1 if you have a question today. At this time, I'll turn things back to Mr. Lawrence while we wait your questions.
Thank you.
And again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question today. And Mr. Lawrence, it appears we have no questions at this time, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for joining, and I hope it was useful to you.
And that does conclude today's conference. We appreciate everyone's participation and wish you all a great day.